17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, in the other gospels, this gentleman is referred to as someone who is rich. And in one, he's referred to as the rich young ruler. So we got to understand who this is. This is not somebody who saw him passing by their window and was like, "Hey, I'll go talk to him." This is somebody whose pockets jangled when he walked, who most likely had servants waiting at home somewhere. He had snuck out to have this conversation. Verse 18, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Isn't it good to be one of the good guys, isn't it? "Oh, Master, I've done it all. I am a good person. I am solid on the commandments. You will find me above reproach on those things. I have kept them as a child. I've done everything. I talk to people. I grew up in church. I've been a member of the church for decades. All my life I've walked with God." And they feel pretty good about that. And I tell you what, it is a good thing to do. It is a good thing to participate in that. It is good to say that you are right with the commandments. It is good to say that you follow the Word of God. It is a good thing. But I'll attest to this, it is not the This guy with all of his money and all of his obedience to the commandments was just as lost as anybody could be. And he knew it. He knew it. I'll give this to the guy. So often we pick on him. At least he knew it. I've known some lost people, didn't know they were lost people. "Well, I give a ton of money over down there to this organization and that organization. Surely St. Peter's gonna let me in." You know, Peter, don't guard the gates of heaven. You do know that you're not going to be able to sit there with a bill of goods and be like, "Look at all that I did." Because if so, again, what's one of my favorite phrases nowadays? Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross if me obeying the commandments would have done it. You know, we got some people out there, they live good, pure lives all their lives. They don't step on a single bug. They don't say a foul word to anybody. They got a sweet disposition about them. There's people out there, they live like that. They are wonderful people. But they are sinners at heart. Each and every one of us. And if doing good could save you, there's some people out there probably done enough good, but that's not the way it works. We are corrupted from within. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. You know, I've met some people, "Well, I've attended church. My daddy's a preacher. This, that, or the other." That don't mean nothing when it comes down to salvation. It is a good thing, but it's not the thing. It is a good thing to be able to say that. It is a wonderful, it is the goal. It's good to accomplish a goal. It's good to be able to say, you put in the work, but work don't save you. So he comes to him knowing full well that he is lost. "Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Verse 20 again, we'll read the bottom part. "All these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now I've heard some people use this to preach good works for salvation. That's not it. Take a close look at this verse. Sell all your riches, or let me read it properly. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. See, there we go. There's a secret back door into heaven. You don't got to repent. No. Give to the poor, comma, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now that colon is a hard stop. We have now begun a new thought. Okay? And come. Different step now. Sell all you have, give to the poor, that you may have treasure in heaven, and come. Take up the cross. Now, if I were to tell you take up the cross, what does that mean? To you and me, we understand what that means. Take up the cross of Christ. He died on a cross. We put on our salvation. We put on our labor. We pick it up and we get going. Well, here's the problem for this rich young ruler. What cross? What cross? He couldn't take it physically. What cross? That phrase there means salvation. Be saved. And then what? Follow me. But you know what he got hung up on? He didn't finish the rest of the sentence. Verse 22, and he was sad. He was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Man, I've got some good stuff. You got some good stuff? I've even got a couple great things. I got some great stuff. Maybe you might not like it, but I like it. I got in my family, my great-great-grandfather had a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum revolver with the Dan Wesson handle. Beautiful, beautiful equipment. Beautiful. I don't fire it much because it's a family heirloom. You know, I take it, I keep it in my safe, polish it every now and then. I keep her in there. Went from him to my dad. My dad said, hey, listen, I want you to have this. To some, they say, okay, well, that's just a thing. Some people, they don't like guns at all, so they might not like it at all. But to me, it is a great thing. It is a family heirloom. I got some great stuff. Some real great stuff there. And we think of, oh, well, I got this, and I got this television, and I got this car, and I've got this boat, and I've got these things over here. What would you do if God came by today and told you to sell it all, give it to charity, and come follow him? Now, some of you are looking at me going, well, does the Bible say I have to do that? Not right now. You know, for those who go into the mission field, they do. For pastors, as they move about to the churches God places them in, they do. But for the most part, because of the sacrifice that these men, the ones who first followed Jesus, because of their sacrifice, we don't have to. I have a local church I can go to. I don't need to live a nomadic life starting churches around. Now, again, to some, that's their calling. They have to, right? They will need to. You think of the Jameses over there in Australia. Whatever they had here before they went over to, I know they didn't, when they first started, I know they didn't start in Australia, but wherever they went, there it goes. And you think when you're moving from one country to the other, that's expensive to pack all your stuff. So what do you got to do? You sell it. You let other people have it, and you go. Now that's them. For the most of the people that are in this room, you'll never be called to Papua New Guinea. You'll never be called to the wilds of Borneo. You'll be able to stay right here. So you can have your television. You can have your car. You can have your great stuff. But you still have to follow him. You understand? This thing is not just about stuff that the Lord put in there. The thing is, when it comes down to following Christ, we may be able to obey him. We may be, by the world standard, really good people, but still have a hang up or two that prevents us from fully following God. Oh, you know, I'd love to be a member of the church, but I'd hate to have to give up this, that, or the other. Oh, man, I'd love to be a member of the church, but we just bought a camper. I would love to be a member of the church, but I can't get out of this timeshare. Oh man, I understand. I'd love to be a member of the church, but I don't want to change the way I dress. I don't want to stop watching this stuff. I don't want to stop listening to that stuff. Man, I would love to be a part of it, but there's all this stuff over here that I would really like to experience first. Comes back to bite you though. Because that stuff has no value. And you spend so much time realizing that it doesn't matter. That it's not doing anything for you. I would sit there and I would work long hours. I'd watch other people work long hours. And they would put in the effort. Man, they would put in the effort. Well, let me work on Saturday. Let me work on Sunday. And I told one guy, I go, hey, listen, man, don't you want some time to spend with your family? Sometime, anytime? Nope. Guy worked for me, then he went out and worked another job. Got about 5-6 hours a night's sleep. I go, I know how much I'm paying you. You can live off of that. Like, I'm paying you money. Like, he was making more money than I was, and I was living comfortably. Like, what's happening? They just put in. I want to retire. I want to buy this. I got to pay off that. Next year we're looking to have a vacation over here, so I got to stockpile it up. You're gonna sit there and you're gonna blow all this time you could spend with your family. Now again, a man ought to work. People ought to work. You got to pay your bills. You got to build up. You got to do those things. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but there's a line. There's a line, and some men happily live across it. And they sit there, well, why'd my kids do this? Well, why is that going on? You know, you're called into the principal's office at school. Well, I don't understand where my kid would learn those words. I don't understand why he would hit that child. I don't understand why they would do it. You imagine how many school shooters' parents are sat there and in police interrogation. Well, we had no idea my kid was developing this idea. How do you know? How do you not know? Because you had your nose in the phone, your nose in the pocketbook, you had your nose everywhere else. Now listen, everybody's kid's going to get a little wild, everyone's kid's going to do something a little bit crazy, but I'll tell you this, you let your kid get that far, you ain't paying attention. Well, I didn't know he was out there robbing the store. I didn't know he was that kind of kid. My kid would never. You need to update what you know about your child. Mr. 90 hours a week, don't ever see what the kids are doing, don't ever stop. Listen, I've known people that have did it. They put in that 60-hour work week, and they would sit down with their kids. All right, what's going on at school? All right, no. Don't tell me it's fine. Let's see the grades. When I was a kid in school, we had an agenda we had to use. Remember those? Doubled as your hall pass. The teacher would sign your book so you could go to the bathroom. So... Let me see it. Let me see the planner. Let me see what's going on. All right, what'd you write down that you got to do today? All right, get it out. Get out the homework so I can see it. Put in that effort. We miss so much when we worship the stuff. This is a young man who was okay following the rules, but he worshiped the stuff. Stuff comes and goes. For us, it might not be a thing. For us, it could be a sin. It could be a lifestyle. It could be a behavior. I don't want to give it up. And you'll die with it having it drained everything from you, from it having hurt you. You know, I talk so much about people whose lifestyle badly affects them. We were joking about some of the food in the refrigerator back there. All that delicious, delicious food that we had yesterday. There's still some of those cakes and things back there. I opened up the fridge to grab a water as everybody was leaving, and it was all still there. I told Brother Dennis, I go, I had to walk away from that chocolatey Potiphar's wife. I had to run, open that thing up. I don't know what they were, but I was so good yesterday. I behaved myself. I don't know what half that stuff is, but I want every last bit of it, you know. This lifestyle kill you. I've had issues in the last year because of this lifestyle. You gotta let it go. There are some things in life you gotta let go. They're no good for you. They'll kill you. They'll drain your pocketbook. They'll ruin your family. You gotta let it go. But our hang-up is, but everybody thinks I'm cool because of all my great stuff. Everybody wants what I have. Everybody is doing this. This is the way of the world right now. And everybody thinks you're square if you don't do it. That don't matter. That don't matter. Let me tell you this, those people who advertise those clothes that bear so much of your skin, are they going to be there for you when you're assaulted? That's a hard question, isn't it? For those that advertise the liquor and the tobacco, do you think Philip Morris is going to show up and pay your medical bill? They won't. Do you think Anheuser-Busch is going to come over and pay off the family of the people you just killed in a drunk driving accident? You think they're going to do that? Nope, they're going to blame it on you. Oh, but everybody drinks. Everybody does a little bit. Oh, everybody cusses. Everybody's watching this show. Everybody's down here doing this. Everybody lives a little loose when it comes down to their sexuality. Everybody, not everybody. And you need to look at the end of that ride before you decide what you're going to do. I went to, last time I was at Cedar Point, I heard this girl, she was so upset. She went on that ride at Cedar Point, the log flume ride. You know the one that goes down and you can stand on the bridge and it drenches you? She got upset that she went down that ride and she got wet. Then later you see that you see people walk. You ever see somebody walk across a bridge like that at one of those rides and just get hosed? Oh no, what happened? You didn't notice that this is the one wet spot in this place on a 90 degree day? Well, it's just weird that they would put that there. And yet you see the same reaction when sin comes knocking at our door. When sin collects its price. Well, what do you mean I picked up this disease? Well, you lived a very promiscuous lifestyle. You asked for it. You went to where it was. You picked it up. Hey, listen, let me tell you this. If I go out and I wander through the high grass, what should I check myself for? Ticks, right? Any one of us would do that. We go out to the garden, we walk through some high grass, you check yourself for ticks. Ticks have been real bad this year in Michigan. You check yourself for them. Why? Because when you go into the high grass, that's what's there. So I'll tell you this, you go out into the sinful paths, sin will do what it does. Sin's there as a parasite. Sin is not a friend. Sin is not a reward. Sin is a parasite, and you'll get punished for it. You go into a hotel room. I know about you, but when I go into a hotel room, I leave all my bags outside. I'll pull off all the sheets. I'll take a flashlight, run it across. I know just what to look for. I'll pop off one of the sockets by the bed. If you're not doing that, you ought to. I'll pop off one of the sockets because that's the one place the cleaning lady won't wipe down, you know, bug mess from. I'm checking for bed bugs. If I go to a place and I lay down, and I get bed bugs and I bring them back to my house, and my house has bed bugs. Brother Tim, you want to come over and spend the night? How dare you be so judgmental? How dare you pass judgment on me? Sin will not just affect you. It will not just parasite you. But it's going to bring certain judgment on you. Now, I ain't worried about what Brother Tim thinks about my life. I'm worried about what God thinks of my life. And because Brother Tim's a fellow church member, it's my job to reassure him that I've got it together. Right? God will judge us for that sin on top of the toll that sin will take from us. But I've seen so many people that just there, I could do business with God today and get rid of the sin, but then I'd have to live without it. Oh, Jesus, don't you understand? I've got a big house. I've got the nicest house. All my friends like to come to my house. You want me to sell my stuff? You ought to come down and see my wine cellar. Listen, we got this brand new statue. I had a statue done of me and my family. You mean I got to sell that? No one's going to want to sell. No one's going to want to buy that. No one's going to want that stuff. How am I supposed to get rid of that? Didn't matter. Jesus needed boots in the field. Jesus needed people knocking on doors and starting churches. He wasn't ready for it. He would rather those things. So the question this morning for each and every one of us, what thing or sin or bad philosophy keeps us from doing business with God? When I say doing business, for some it's salvation. Well, I'd love to be saved, but I'd have to admit that this is wrong, and I don't want to. Yeah, but see, the scripture says you shouldn't. Yeah, but I kind of want to live in denial of that. And you talk to some folks, and that's exactly what it sounds like. They don't say it. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, but I don't know if it's wrong. Yeah, but the scripture says it's wrong. Yeah, but what about this other church that says that it ain't wrong? I don't know about them. I just know about scripture. I can't be held responsible for every religion out there. I can only be responsible for what this book tells me. Because this is what God says. If there's a church down there that tells you you can live however you like, they don't know this book.
And if they do know this book and they're saying that, shame on them. Shame on them for lying. Because I know what this book says you ought to do and ought not to do. And there are some things you got to give up. Now we got to be careful with what it is. If the Bible says give it up, we give it up. If the Bible doesn't say give it up, you don't have to. Now right now, get in your car. Don't sell your car today unless you want to. Or sell your house today. Don't sell your mattresses and things like that. You hang on to those right now. You're called right here. This is where you're supposed to be. So don't give up if you don't have to. There was a time in our lives where we had to sell the house. We had to box things up. We had to come out here. We're glad to do it. Very glad to do it. But we were called to do it, and that's what we did. If I would have stayed where I was, God would have brought some circumstances about in my life to push me on. You know, I don't like those circumstances all that much. I would much rather go. Had a conversation with the kids this morning. We're getting ready for school, and we're setting things up. And, hey, listen, we're going to go over some stuff, and if you do it, good times. Right? Hey, listen, if I say it once, good times. If I have to say it 3, 4, 5 times, you're doing it anyway, but it's not going to be so fun. Not for you, not for me. Kids, let me give you a parent's secret here. We don't like getting loud. We don't. We don't like yelling or correcting or getting out of sorts. We like smiling at you. We like teamworking with you. All right? That's the parent's heart, isn't it? Oh, that we would serve our Lord with that in mind. Well, I fought the Lord. Yeah, that's so many people's testimonies. I fought the Lord for years. Why? Why? Of all the people to fight, why him? I learned at Flat Rock, there's this lady, Shannon Stapleton. You ever meet Shannon Stapleton? She is one of the most wonderful, creative, and just inviting people you will ever meet. Do not play a board game with her. Do not. Whatever game you play, do not play on the other side. You play on her side. I don't care what it is. Dodgeball, catchphrase, don't matter. You are on her side, or else it's going to be real. She'll beat you with a smile on her face. You know what I mean? With being as polite and loving as she can, she'll make you feel like an imbecile. Just that creativity and that intelligence gangs up on you, right? I don't play against her. I'll play on her side. I don't like to play against her. Why would you play on the other side of God? And then people brag about it. Well, I fought it for a few years. No, you didn't. It's sooner to say, for Gideon to say, well, I fought my dad and I stayed in the house. No, I let you stay in there. If it was time for you to go, I would grab you, put you in the car. Right? Gideon's smiling at me. You know I'll do it. I'll come after you, buddy. No, just there's no fighting God. There's no tug of war with God. It'd be a joke to imagine it. You didn't fight with God. You held out. And you waited. Until the Lord wouldn't let you wait no more. And he grabbed you and made you do it. We should not cling to things. They are ineffectual. They do not help. Even the philosophy of, I'm a good person. Listen, what's the purpose of people believing you're a good and decent and moral person? What's the purpose to it? There ain't no reason for it. We'll talk about that later tonight. We paint this picture of the person we think people ought to see. I follow all the commandments. I do all the good things. That's what you're supposed to do. Hey, listen, I come to a complete stop at stop signs. Where's the applause? Come on. You know, when I run out of gas, when my gas level gets low in the car, I fill it up with gas. No. When I file my taxes, I pay them. When the Lord gave me commandments, I followed them. Yeah. And you're supposed to. Those are things you're supposed to do. Because as it turns out, coveting your neighbor's stuff leads to problems. Because as it turns out, killing, that leads to problems. And God punishes us for that disobedience. I'll get real close to a cliff and I won't even jump. One time I saw a police officer, I did not throw something at him.
There's nothing to be merited by bragging about, well, I don't do anything bad. I don't do anything evil. You're not supposed to. You know, it's like the prodigal son's brother. I've never left and taken half your stuff. That's the point, son. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to. And again, we are honored to obey. It is a blessing to obey. Right? It is a joy. There's less issues, less trouble, less drama when people do what they're supposed to. We live in a world and we're wondering, why are all these abuses? Why are all these crimes? Why is this terrible stuff happening? And it makes me angry when people say, why would God allow it to happen? And we forget the sinners that are making it happen. God told us not to. He punishes us for doing it. And we still do it. We still do it. Some people get angry at God. He don't take away our free will. You made that decision. He told you not to drink to excess. He told you not to fool around in your marriage. He told you not to do this. He told you not to steal that. He told you not to go over there and say these things. He told you not to. The best thing is, if you need God to make sure you don't sin, you might as well just wait for Him to build you a box to live in. And even then, you'll be alone with some pretty dark thoughts. He says, leave the distractions. And that's what these things are. These philosophies, these sins, they're all distractions. They serve no purpose. They do nothing for you. And distractions, it is hard to build a life when you are filled with distractions. The kids are trying to explain something to me, but I, despite them trying to teach me how to do something that they're very passionate about, I get distracted. Because I have this problem. I ask myself, wouldn't it be fun if... Now, whenever I'm working with kids, that's always, wouldn't it be fun if we did this? I was talking to Maris yesterday, or Dennis was joking about taking those balloons and filling them up in the Smith's car. Just filling the Smith's car up with them. When I was a teenager, folks, I love you guys to death, but if I was a teenager today, you'd have had a car full of balloons. As the kid I was, man, just fill it up. Now I'm old. You know how I tell I was old? Because yesterday when Dennis mentioned it, I go, man, then we'd have to pick up the balloons. They'd get popped. What if they blew across the thing and have to run across the street? What if they went into the golf course and I got to go explain to that guy why there's balloons filling the golf course? I'd have to go out to the golf course. I'd have to get the grabbers. My mind just went. You know? It's like, oh, well, that'd go against my job of keeping the grounds clean. That would go against my job of making sure we're not a cause of ruckus among the community, right? I go, man, I got old. But it's okay to not want to fall into distractions every time. Sure, it's fun a little bit. There's times when those things are fun. You know, sitting there at 8 o'clock at night, you turn the TV on. Provided you're not watching anything vile or foul, ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't got to give it all up. You know, when it comes down to educating yourself or picking up hobbies, doing things like that. You know, Jada showed me yesterday this hammer that she made. And that was pretty cool. I looked at it, I go, she is probably never going to use this, what this is for. I don't know. I don't want to put anything on you, Jade. I don't. But I can't imagine where that thing will come in handy other than the one you probably already have 1,000 of them at home, right? You want to drive a nail, you got 100 other ways to drive a nail, but now you got this thing. It's a distraction. But ain't nothing wrong with it. A little fun, a little engaging of the mind. It's a wonderful thing. The problem comes when distractions pull us away from what matters in life. Right? We so often talk about working too much. It's good to work, but don't work to the point to where it becomes a distraction from the main part of life. It's okay to go for education, but do not put that into the realm of what so many do. I've known people that get the degree and then they worship themselves and they ask other people to worship them. You ever have somebody with an art degree insist they call you you call them doctor? Wouldn't talk to me. Until I admitted that they were a doctor. And it wasn't like I was being mean about it. Oh, my name is doctor, whatever they were. Okay. No. You call me Dr. So-and-so. Well, all right, Dr. So-and-so, that's fine. But what I would like is a large coffee with two shots of... I'm kidding. I love my cousin, I do. No, it's just, again, there's nothing wrong with it, provided it doesn't become a distraction. The rich young ruler, it was a distraction. Now, there's going to be some things that are distraction. They are inherently evil. Those are the sinful things, right? You're sitting there and you're catching up on the latest rated R or rated mature television show on Netflix, and you go, oh, this is pretty good. And then you go into work the next day and you're around the water cooler. I don't know if people still do it, but walk around the water cooler and we talk about the show and, hey, wasn't that a great thing? Blah, 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 blah. Blue brains all over, blah, 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 blah. Under what circumstances would that be a normal thing? Talking about that thing, witnessing that sort of thing. And yet, if it is 4K and on Netflix, we'll watch it. Well, it's okay if it's on the TV. You know, what, if I were to say, hey, listen, I know down in Detroit there's going to be a gang fight tonight. I know a place where we can go sit and we can watch the whole thing. We might catch a bullet through the glass every now and then, but for the most part, we'll be safe. But would you like to go watch them slaughter each other? We would sit there and say, oh, what a ghastly thing to say. But man, if I'm in the comfort of my chair and I've got my fuzzy socks on, I got some popcorn in my lap, well, that's okay. If it's a famous actor or actress participating in this violence, participating in this lustful behavior, well, that's fine. Hey, listen, I understand that she's cheating on her husband. I understand that this is some really debauched stuff, but it's the Hallmark Channel. They're a Christian station. Debauchery is debauchery. You ought not distract yourself with debauchery. You become familiar with it. You become normalized by it. It's no longer a problem to you. And again, I'm just trying to think, under what circumstances in real life would we watch it? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. Would I watch this in real life? If this was happening in front of me, would I watch it? I haven't seen some of the things that they put on TV in real life. But I remember I was working at McDonald's and I turned out at a motorcycle. You know, one of those foreign, you know, not like a Harley, but one of those like little Suzuki type things. Whipped around me. Whipped in front of me and blew a yellow light. I guess the best way to describe it would be an orange light. There was somebody who didn't see the car. They saw me slowing down, so they felt comfortable turning out. Big old van. That motorcycle whipped around me, didn't see the van. Van didn't see them. They crashed into the back of that vehicle. Both of them died. And the story was that both of them died on impact. But as I sat there and I prayed with the girl who was dying, I tell you, she was alive. For a few seconds, but she was alive. Never made it to the end of the prayer. That was gory. It was disgusting. And it was awful. I do not like watching car accidents in real life. I do not like watching people die in real life. We had it happen one time. Somebody had overdosed inside their apartment. We wouldn't have known had their pit bull not been barking on their front porch. And you weren't allowed to have pit bulls. So I go up those stairs. Nobody home. So I sit there and I'm thinking, well, something's not right. Now, in some cases in the lease, we could enter into the home immediately if I think there's a problem. A door wide open and a screaming dog did it for me. The guy had overdosed right in front of the door. I had to push him with the door to get into him. There was no resuscitating him. I don't think drugs are a good thing. I've seen it take perfectly wonderful people, change them inside and out, strip their life away from them. I don't think that's something to play around with. But people will sit there and watch that stuff on TV and laugh about it. I don't know. Something about actually having to take those things on TV, putting them into real life, that strips some of the enjoyment out of it. Because it ain't Chris Pratt anymore, it's this person. Because it ain't that actor, it's a real thing. Well, it's just, you know, I don't watch it for that. Really? But you consume it anyway. What a weird thing. You know what I mean? I'd be like somebody who's allergic to fish going to Red Lobster because they enjoy the pasta. You do know you're probably going to get some fish in there, right? You consume it anyway. People say all they want about a sanctified lifestyle. But I'm telling you this. If you really think about it, the other kind of lifestyle don't make no sense. Does it make any sense? Now, I told you the story about my uncle. Drunk himself to death. Organs gave up. Doctor said, you got to stop or it's going to kill you. He didn't stop. So then I tell you, when I went to go say goodbye to him, through the casket, and they were about to close the door, there was liquor bottles, beer, and things all in there. And I just kind of sat there going, it's so weird that he's going to be buried with his murderer. One of the few people that will ever experience being buried with their own murderer. Oh, but you could do it a little. Not everybody can do it a little. Not everybody can do it a little. And it doesn't just affect a rare few. It affects everybody. We just don't always recognize it. You know, and that's just one thing we can pick on. We could pick on 1,000 different things. What you watch, what you do on the internet. You can't do it just a little. It takes the whole thing. So what must we do? We must throw aside those distractions, especially the evil ones. Especially the evil ones. You know, I'll pick up a hobby every now and then, and sometimes I'll get obsessed with a hobby. You ever do that? You become dedicated to it. Well, I ain't going to stop until I finish this thing, right? And you sit there and you realize, I've been here for 6 hours today. This is a hobby. This isn't good. This is supposed to enlighten my life and make me feel better. Not take 6 hours on a Saturday away from me while I should be doing other things. It always catches me when I'm cleaning out the garage. Oh, there's that project. Well, let's finish that up real quick. You know, 3 weekends later, you know, 3 days off later, you're still playing with it. Some distractions, they just take up too much room. But don't ever let those evil distractions come in. Don't ever play with them. He says, leave those things aside. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Get you some riches in heaven by that. And then what does he say? Follow me. Follow me. Take up your cross. Follow me. Now listen. Salvation is not something to put off. We do not know how long we have on this earth. We don't know. I'll talk to hospice workers. If there's anybody in the medical industry that will be accurate, it's a hospice worker. I don't know what they have, but something in their experience. I talked to them about my grandmother, my mama, when I was in high school. And I said, well, this will happen, then this will happen, then this will happen. And sure enough, those things happened. I've talked to other people, talk about other relatives as I'm sitting there, and, well, what can we expect? And they were completely wrong. You got young people sitting there planning for their retirement that maybe won't come. Now, I've known some people in high school. Well, when I get older, I'll do this and that, and maybe as I get closer to settling down after I've sowed my wild oats, they didn't use that phrase, but that's what they meant. When I've lived a little, I'll settle down. Yeah, I promised that long. We don't know. There's people tonight, most likely, will be out there sowing their wild oats. Tonight's their last night. I just talked about it. They're out there living wild. They're going to get drunk tonight. They're going to drive home tonight. They're not going to make it. They're going to go out tonight. They're going to be with so-and-so tonight. They won't come home. They'll go out there and they'll participate in some dangerous, sketchy behavior. You know, go out there on motorbikes of their own. Won't make it home. Some will catch diseases. Some will become hurt. And we won't make it. We don't know how long we have. One thing I've learned about cemeteries is they'll take anybody. They'll take anybody. You got your senior living homes. It'll only take age range this year to this year. Cemeteries ain't like that. They'll take everybody. We need to be serious about our eternity, serious about our salvation, and not put those things off for fear of what we might give up. There ain't nothing on this earth that God's going to say don't have that will ruin your life. There's so many other wonderful things. All right, so many other wonderful things that you could participate in the Christian walk. they'll be far more exciting than anything this world has to offer. Follow me, he says. Do as I say. Let me teach you how to do this. Let me teach you how to do that. It is the folly of every human being alive, I believe, to think that they are one notch above everybody else. Well, I got this figured out. I don't need to explain this. Right? Young people in particular, I know I struggled with it. I still struggle with it sometimes, where you try to prove you know stuff because, well, I'm not like the rest of my generation. I know stuff. And maybe so. But listen. Listen. One of the best things I could tell a young person, one of the best things I could tell anybody, listen to the things of God. Listen to what other people have done it. No. So again, follow him. Hey, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what is it you'd ask me to do? You know, there was a young man I know. He just devout in his faith, strong in the Lord. And he sat there and he prayed, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord sent him on through college. And he did great in college. And he sat there, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he took a job. It was a decent job. Wasn't exactly what he wanted, but he was starting off. You never get what you want when you start off unless your daddy owns the business, right? But no, so then what happens? He got another offer. You know what he did? Lord, what would you have me to do? And this is after a few years. He took the better job, made buckets of money, paid off his school debt, built himself a decent life, provided for his family. Things are great. Then the Lord called him to preach. Lord ain't called him out of that situation yet to go, but right now he's learning. Right now he's growing. Right? There's several other men that I've heard of who have recently been called to preach. September 10th, we're going to have one of them come preach for us Sunday night. Wesley Tice, we're going to have him. You'll pray for him. We got another one down there, Faith in Clarksville, I believe. Clarksville is where he is, right? No. Well, I've got to get it later. Another young man I know called to preach. Pray for them. Lord, what would you have me to do? You're going to preach. No. Yeah. You're going to preach. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, I was 14 years old. Now, that was not, pastor says, all right, well, we're going to train you up, and I'm going to have you get in the pulpit. And I said, okay, well, in like the next year, right? Oh, no. I'm going to meet with you for a little bit. You're going to preach 2-3 weeks from now. Ever see the color drain out of a young man's face? Just, come on. It's what you got to do. Yeah, but I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, you're doing it anyway. And you know what? Every step of the way, the Lord has affirmed his decision that that's what my life ought to be. When you ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go? You better believe he is going to sustain, and listen to me, bless everything he's told you to do. Everything. Everything I've known beyond a shadow of a doubt God wanted me to do, when I put my foot there, there was soft heart, or there was good hard ground for me to walk on. Good hard ground for me to walk on. I don't necessarily understand how it is that we're going to be able to go over to Mount Morris and live out in Mount Morris. How do we move? We've never moved a group of kids before. We've never sold a house before. We've never done any of this before. We were just glad to be able to buy the house the first time. This is all brand new to... I think the house sold in 24 hours. We got way more than we were asking for. You know, and I mean, you guys have been here for everything that the Lord has done in our lives since. I bragged on the Lord for it. Those are not things I would have sat there and planned when I was a child. When somebody's asking me now, what do you want to be when you grow up? None of those things. I would have sat there and said, that's what I want to do. But everything the Lord has told me to do and I've obeyed, it's been there. And I've enjoyed it. Oh, I've enjoyed it. Even back before I was a pastor, everything God asked for me to do, I enjoyed what it was. Sitting there at 11 o'clock at night, building stuff for Vacation Bible School, sitting there picking up kids on a van, praying with fellow church members, getting together at Bible conferences, going to camp, and sitting there on a Sunday morning as the pastor's preaching on my sin, and I'm repenting of it, and I get to walk out feeling 100 pounds lighter. I've enjoyed all of it. I didn't have to go from girl to girl. God gave me one. I obeyed him in what it was I was supposed to do. And God rewarded it with the best.
best woman I could have ever possibly found. When I sat there and said, Lord, we want children. We're having a hard time having children. My heart broke, but I did what God wanted me to do. Now they're all over the place. But look at them.
I tell you what. I've never gone and hung out with the college crowd and got wasted. I've never tried drugs. I've never done some of the things that you can readily go to a dispensary and buy. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never gotten drunk. I've never done any of those things. I've never had a physical interaction outside of the wife that I have now. Never! I was deliriously happy. Deliriously happy. And if you think about it, that's what we are too. We only get forlorn when we think about the things that we can't have. Right? It's like a child. I've got ice cream, but no sprinkles. My day's ruined. Oh, I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got some food in my belly. You know, but man, I'm shopping at Kroger. Someone went to Whole Foods. This ain't right. You see people sitting there on their iPhones, hooking up to their Wi-Fi in the house that they live in, going, we need to eat the rich people because it's hard being poor. We get to thinking about what we don't have. You'll never have enough. You'll never have. That's why you see so many miserable people who are rich today. Right? You'd think if anybody wasn't going to get a divorce, it'd be Jeff Bezos. I mean, shouldn't money make you happy? Shouldn't having more money than anybody could ever use in one lifetime, shouldn't that make you happy? They don't, though. This rich young ruler, he thought he had everything. And having to give up everything hurt him. Made him sad. There's not a thing God's going to ask you to give up. He ain't going to make right in the end. Verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now what he is saying here is that it is hard to give up those things because you'll focus so much on those things that he's not saying rich people can't get saved. All right. Now how do you know that, brother? Well, let's keep reading. And the disciples were astonished at his words. Rich people can't be saved? But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who can be saved? And I like that phrase, astonished out of measure. It goes like this. If I was astonished, hey, listen, brother, you know, tonight after church, we're going to have sandwiches. Oh. Astonished beyond measure would be like, what? See, you got the difference. You know, because again, what are we taught? What does even modern religion teach today? God wants to make you rich. And I sit there and we look at our bank accounts and we go, well, God must not like me very much at all. You know, meanwhile, we're doing the best we can. We're reading our Bibles. We're obeying Him. We're praying as often as we should. We're serving Him through our church. And how come me no rich? No, that's not the point either. It is not one or the other, but the point is this, that it is very hard for those that seek security in this world. They seek security. There are some people. You know, you think of Joseph of Arimathea. What did he do? He was rich enough to be able to give his grave, give his burial plot away. Please, bring him into the please. He can have mine. You know, he didn't know it was a borrowed thing. He thought he was giving it away. There ain't nothing wrong with having money. Lord didn't say you can't have money. The point is that when your God becomes the security you can get out of this world, and that's what people are doing. I want enough money to where I could do whatever I want. Not knowing you could do whatever you want anyway. It just takes a little bit of work. Do whatever you want anyway. It's like that story I heard one time of this big wealthy businessman goes down to Mexico and meets this guy who's sitting there. He's playing music in the middle of the day, and he's just enjoying himself. His wife was there, kids were out playing, and he goes, "What do you do that you can just be available in the middle of the day?" He goes, well, I wake up early. I fish a little bit, just enough to pay the bills and feed the family. He goes, then I come home and I play my piano or play my guitar and hang out with my wife and watch the kids. And he goes, oh, you know what you could do? What you could do is you could charter out your fishing. You could then build more people to go out in different boats. You could buy more boats, hire people to run those boats. You could build a big conglomerate of the fishing business and just sell fish and become very rich. And the guy goes, well, that sounds all very nice, but what would I do then? He goes, well, then you could, you know, get up early, do a little work, come over here, play guitar, spend time with your wife, and watch your kids grow up. You don't need everything the world says you need, right? You need a car. You don't need a luxury car. If God's given you the ability to buy one, that's fine. You know, if God's given you a boat, you have the ability to do it. Just don't seek. Well, how do I put it? If the Lord's given you a nice big boat or a nice big car, that's fine. Shotgun is all I'm saying. You know, I get to ride next. But the point is this. We can't seek shelter, safety, or security in the things of this world. It all goes away. All goes away. One minute you're looking down at the guy shining your shoes. The next minute it's the great crash of the stock market and you're jumping out of a building. It's just ridiculous to put our trust in the things of this world. The point is this, is that the riches, the offerings, and sometimes we confuse sin with the riches of this world. Oh, but it's a privilege to be able to perform these things. I don't like a church that tells me I can't do this or that. The church ain't telling you nothing. God is. And whether you are in the church, out of the church, lost nor saved, you will still answer for what God says. Not me, not a board of directors, but the Lord. So again, we see this. Hey, it is very hard for them because they have put their faith and their trust in money, in riches. It is very hard for them. And they ask, well, who then can be saved? Like, is there a restriction? Like, what does my income have to be in order for me to qualify for salvation? You know? He goes, no, it's impossible with man. And that's what he says next. But with God, all things are possible. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. The rich man, the poor man, the weird guy, the lady down the street with all the cats, we all can be saved. It doesn't matter. See, with God, everybody can. But when it comes down to us, we'll resist. Why do we resist? Why do we resist the things of God? Oh no, not my cancer-causing thing. Oh no, not the thing that's ruined my marriage. Oh no, not the ability to do whatever random thought comes into my head. Oh no, not the clothing that I keep having to adjust, but it makes me feel confident, you know. Not that. We resist putting our faith and trust in the wrong things. And so often, we never quite get to the things that we think those sins will give us. We had an experiment in school. You ever see that commercial for the Tootsie Pop? How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? One of our teachers actually made us do it. And we had to count it. Now, the whole point was hypothesis, test, results, right? Gaining conclusions. And we actually had to sit there and do that. One kid, he brought in his own sucker because he was allergic to one of the ingredients inside the Tootsie Roll Pop. Well, there was no Tootsie Roll Center of his Tootsie Pop. He sat there all day and never actually got to the result. I don't know what the teacher was thinking. There was no Tootsie Pop. There was nothing in there. The kid was just sitting there sucking on a sucker and counting it. What the most boring thing you could possibly do all day is count how many licks it takes to get to something that's not even there. And yet, that's what we're doing with our lives. How many licks of this sin can I get before I get to the real reward? And we always get to the bottom and there's nothing there. Right? Why? Because the devil, he's a liar. And it was always about the distraction. It was always about the getting you to frustrate God. Your flesh craves things that aren't no good for it. Right? For instance, yesterday, many of you ate the goodies. How did it feel to eat the goodies? Felt good. Gave it to the kids. Kids felt good. Then what happened? Felt bad. Right? You eat too much of it. You go back there and you just, big old piece of cake, feels good for a second. And then what do? You feel bad. Now, but you feel alive for a little bit, don't you? Those that participate in these sins, well, it kicks off the chemicals. We've often talked about that. Some of the intoxicants that people consume only serve to kill their brain cells, and that's what makes them feel good, is dying. Your body's trying to wake you up and make you feel good so that you can feel good about the process of what you're about to go through. Now, here's the thing. I didn't eat any of those things. I ate the pineapple. I ate the grapes. I ate the good stuff. You know, I've been eating salad. I'm trying to take care of this. I've gone back on the diet. You know, a little bit of carbs, a little bit of protein, a whole lot of veggies. I got it all frozen up. I've been reheating it, and it's been going well. But you know what? I feel sad eating it because it's not, you know, candy. I feel sad eating it. You know, sit there, you have your chicken and your broccoli, and you're sad because it's not pasta. And then later you sit there and you eat it, and you just kind of feel bad for the first week. But what's happening to my body? It's healing. So often we get confused. We get confused. We think that because our body feels bad, bad things are happening. And we think because our body feels good, good things are happening. That's not the way that works. That's not the way your body works. Sometimes you got to tell yourself no. Sometimes you got to change things. Sometimes you got to put the effort in. When God tells us to do something, it's our only reaction ought to be to be obedient. And then we got poor Peter. He gets to the end of this lesson. And poor Peter. Oh, poor Peter. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. Let me tell you something. Not everybody in my family is comfortable with some of the decisions I've made when it comes down to the Lord. My insistence that I'm at church on a Sunday, and this was before I became a pastor. Things get weird when the pastor just doesn't show up. You know, on a Sunday morning, if I went to a birthday party, y'all'd have some questions. But no, and some of the stances that I've taken. So it's been a while since I've seen some of the role inside of the family. We don't get together much. After Mama and Papa died, we just didn't get together. There was no drama. There was no frustration. It just, without anybody to organize it and provide a place to go, didn't happen. Well, we got this house, and I've got all this yard, and my family loves a good barbecue. And I said, well, let's get the band together and have them come on over. So I put that out there. I said, hey, listen, we're going to have a barbecue on Labor Day. I'd like you all to come. No booze, no smoking on my yard, but we'd like to have that together. I've got a cousin who's throwing a rival party the day before, right? It's actually Saturday, and she just labeled it beer. Come on up, camp for the weekend, beer. Well, I've got two people coming to mine, and everybody's going up there, and that broke my heart a little bit. But you know what I was doing? I was sitting at the church fellowship last night, you know, celebrating the Smiths, at a fellowship with a whole bunch of people who are willing to deal with me. At least you haven't said anything otherwise. You know? Yeah, sure, there's going to be some things I can't go to. I can't go to a drunken fest. I can't. I can't go where they're smoking marijuana. I just won't do it. It's just not where I ought to be. You know, I love my family. I like to have them come on over, but they chose not to. Why? Because, well, sin calls. And some people, they got to go. But I've got family. I've got loved ones. And guess what? Because God tells me to love people, I'm going to keep loving them no matter what. I ain't got to lose my love for them even. So now I can love them. And I know they love me. This isn't I know they love me. But you got to pick camping up north in the UP where you can go drink. Or come on down to my house for a barbecue where I'm most likely am going to overcook the burgers. I got it. But on top of what you'll lose, God will give you more. I lost 10 people, but I sat among 30, 40 of them yesterday. You know what I mean? well, we, you know, if that's the way you think, we think that's a little weird. So all of a sudden you don't get invited to stuff. That's fine. That's fine. I know where I can go. And I'm going to love those people either way. You know, somebody changes their mind. They say, hey, Matt, we would still like to come. Can we come? Come on over. I told each and every one of them, hey, listen, I understand that things are going this way, but if you ever find yourself wanting to go over to Frankenmuth, you've got a place to stay. You can come on over. I ain't got to lose a thing. Though people may walk away, though we may lose opportunities, God does not leave us. And I said poor Peter, because in a conversation of don't worry about the stuff, focus on the Lord, he's the first one going, what about us? We gave everything. What do we get? What do we get? It's in the job duty. So you get the Lord Jesus Christ. You get salvation. You get all the blessings that go with it. And by the way, when you get up to heaven, more stuff. But don't worry about the stuff. Don't worry about it. You do what you've got to do, and that stuff will take care of itself. God will make sure you're good. Well, if I don't have this, I'll be miserable. There's a lot of things I don't have that people have told me they would die without, and I'm dreadfully happy. And I've got other things that come in that the Lord's given me. You know, I can't go without reading my Bible. I'm a hot mess if I don't talk to the Lord as often as I should. You know, I'll be talking to the Lord every day, multiple times a day. You're going to have a hard time. I love coming to church, and not just because I get to flap my gums past 12 o'clock. But Brother Mark told me I could go to 1, so you take it up with him. No, listen, there's nothing. God's not going to leave you high and dry. He's not going to let you be miserable because you can't puff on this, put that in your body, go over there and dress like this, go over here and do these things. God's not going to leave you without joy. You're going to have life, but more abundant. You're giving away the good so you can have the mediocre. You want the good, God can give you great. He thought he had great possessions. You don't have anything great until the Lord saves you and you're following him. Then all of a sudden you realize it's all a gift from God. It's all great. You know, the old shoes to the new shoes. It's all great. Ah, man, a car that don't run all the time is great on the days that it does. You know, hey, I got a ride. That gratitude kicks in. The enjoyment kicks in. And you don't have to spend top dollar on something. When you look over and you see the thing you have, and you go, isn't it great that I got a way of getting around? Ain't it great that I got this to put on? Ain't it great that I got this to eat? When you look around and you see so many others. I said this about Sister Theda, and I've said it so much about Sister Mary as well. You look at the strength that they have and the things that they do despite the problems that they face. And I just sit there and I pray, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me when I whine. Forgive me. When I count my blessings and I see how weak I am, right? When I say, Lord, you've given me all this stuff and I'm still just uncontent. I'm still frustrated about stuff. When I don't sit there and look at what I've got. I'll finish with this, I promise. You know, the kids went up with Danielle to her parents' cabin, spent the week up there with them, and I had a quiet house. It was stone quiet. Now, I spent so much of my time as dad. Quiet down! Quiet down! Stop shouting! Why is everybody shouting? Everybody shouting! I made it to Tuesday before I lost my mind. Made it to Tuesday. Why are you so stressed out, Dad? Everybody's shouting! They're here. They're safe. They're strong enough to shout, you big baby. You big baby. There's people out there longing to hear noise in their house again. And there you have it. When we count our blessings, we'll realize it's better to follow than to sit there and build our faith and trust in something else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your manifold blessings on our lives. But Lord, help us never to count the things. Help us to never base our life on what securities in this world we have. Help us, Lord, to do as that verse says, to build our treasure in heaven. Down here, we've got moth and rust. There's no such thing up there. Father, I don't know, but we may even forget what corruption is if we stay up there long enough. Lord, you're so good to us. Help us, Lord, to abide in you, to follow you, And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here sitting on that edge, that they would repent and believe, that they would come forward, that they would join the church. But there's all these things. I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody in that position, you show them the folly of those things. You show them the uselessness. You show them how much better things there are on the other side. And then, Lord, the Holy Spirit convict their heart. Lord, you save their soul. Help us all, Father, to abide in you, not worry about the things we can get, but, Lord, just sit here, obey, keep a level mind, and watch what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 1.